T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Happy Friday, everybody. 1 hour left here of my time filling in for the Instigators. Brayton Wilson here as Andrew Peters and Craig Revay were given the day off. They'll be back on Tuesday after Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Talking some Sabres hockey, talking some NHL hockey in general. And we're going to get more NHL talk here as we're going to have David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us on the Westher Hotline here on WGR. David, thanks again for taking the time this morning to join me to talk some stuff, what's going on around the NHL. Much appreciated.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last time we got the chance to talk was back in July. At that point, the negotiations for labor with the next CBA seemed to be going well. Lots of peaceful talk and everything else going on like that. And they were able to get it done, a new extension. This time around, in terms of getting the 2020-21 season started, things aren't going so well in terms of peaceful talks, are they?
Well, I mean, it's not doom and gloom by any stretch. Not yet, anyway. But there was obviously, as part of the discussions earlier this week, a matter of the finances and the economics surrounding the league that was brought to the attention of the players in a fashion that they didn't entirely anticipate. They felt with the structure of the deal that they put in place with the new CBA, the concessions that they made, the 10% deferral of payment on top of the 20% escrow mark, that would have been good enough to solidify things for this coming season. But clearly, parameters, economics have changed, and the league has asked for more concessions from a financial perspective from the player side, which certainly hasn't sat well with them. And my understanding is they're going to have another discussion today internally among the NHLPA membership. They're going to continue to have those discussions over the course of the weekend. The NHL, in turn, will have their internal talks as well. Hopefully, we get somewhere early next week, or perhaps over the weekend, but more likely early next week, where we get a better understanding of where both sides truly are and if the NHLPA is willing to make any additional concessions in exchange for, you know, clearly something else. But we're still a few days away from that.
So are those concessions the biggest issue that we're facing here, or what are some of the hot topics that are being discussed between the NHL and NHLPA that have to get hammered out in order to get the 2020-21 season back on track?
Well, it's primarily that. It's primarily an understanding of how, if anyway, that the players are willing to give up some more of their salary. Now, there's two different options that were presented. One was higher escrow figure that definitely did not sit well with the NHL players, and then the other would be an increase in the deferral payments. So effectively, and I think that's the one that the players may concede on in some fashion, but they would certainly want something in exchange for that as part of it. But right now, 10% of their current salary is being deferred back to the owners, effectively as a loan that gets paid back in full to the players throughout parts of this current CBA that they agreed to. Now, if that number increases to, let's say, 15, 16, 17%, they will get that money back. It's not going to be tomorrow, but it'll be within certain parts of the current CBA, that money will be paid back. So it's effectively a loan that they're giving back to the owners versus escrow, where there's no guarantee that that money comes back to them. And that's something that they definitely don't want to increase. Now, we'll see how those discussions play out over the next, several days. But that's the primary. The other issues that may potentially come up, are schedule. And that's why we're hearing that there's no definitive lock in terms of a lead on the number of games that will be played next season. The NHL wants to maximize it and get 60 or perhaps a little bit more games in for this coming season. But that will depend on when the season starts. And when the season starts depends on how much longer these negotiations could go.
So are you optimistic that there is going to be a settlement coming down the line here between both sides at some point, whether it is next week in order to get that January start time that the NHL wants? Or do you think that, it may come a little later down there? How optimistic are you that something can get done between both sides in order to get the season going and get the right amount of games that the NHL wants scheduled this season?
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to have a season. I don't think either party wants to even consider the possibility of not having one. So we're definitely going to have a season. It's just a matter at this point of how quickly they can finalize this, discussion that they're having between the two sides and firm up some of the key points. Obviously, the finances are one, and then it comes down to how the schedule is going to play out. The other thing that is kind of on the back end is, are there going to be any restrictions that are going to be put in place from a local perspective within markets? If there are any potential shutdowns in the coming weeks or months, how might that affect the schedule? So that's why the league, for the time being, is likely looking, if we can get things going for, let's say, January 1st or the start, first part of January, and we can get to somewhere in the 60s or 60 games on the regular season, there's going to be a window between the end of the regular season and the start of the playoffs to allow for the potential of games having to be rescheduled if they have to be postponed in the first place due to any potential COVID-related matters that come into play or issues that come into play. The NHL wants to wrap the season, or excuse me, the playoffs, last possible day for a Game 7 by July 15th, and that's how they're effectively working their way backwards from that point. Both sides want to get a season. Both sides want to get started pretty quickly. But obviously the economics that are involved here are certainly pressing for the current period.
David Pagnotta from the fourth period joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. So if they can't get that January 1st start time like the NHL wants, what would be the most feasible start time that we could be seeing? Is it all dependent on when the negotiations finally get finalized and everything? Or do they have other set dates where, okay, if we can't get it started by the 1st, then we'll try and start it at this date. If not, then that date by that date. How is that kind of all working out?
Yeah, they've got a bunch of different options in place here from a schedule perspective based on when they start the season. So if it's, January 1st or close to it, then, okay, they can get in, let's say, for argument's sake, 60 games and get the season going. If they can't finalize terms by the end of this month and get things going, then they move to their second plan, which I believe is around the 15th of January or, within a few days, give or take, of that. And again, the games get lessened as we progress. And then it's February 1st. My understanding from both sides and speaking to people on the NHL side and the NHLPA side is they want to get the season started in January at some point. Really, it's going to come down to how they can finalize the terms on this. The NHLPA certainly needs a little bit of time to dissect everything internally and discuss things internally. And the NHL, from their side of things, more or less has things mapped out from their perspective on when we can get going. But again, both sides really want to get the season started in January. And I think with the NBA getting going on December 22nd, it just furthers the argument that they can play quicker versus, stretching things out. So both sides want to get going as quickly as they can here, but certainly this is pressing, and I suspect this time next week we'll have a lot more information as to how quickly we can get the season going.
And the idea of a possible bubble system, at least to start the season, is that idea dead, or is that something that could still be a possibility, or is it more likely that we see NHL teams beginning their seasons playing in their home buildings and getting the chance to either have fans in the arena, or how do you think that's going to work out?
Yeah, nothing's off the table because we don't know how. I mean, things could potentially change on a day-to-day basis. But what I can tell you is they are moving with the notion that they're going to play in their own buildings, that teams will be playing in their own buildings, and the markets that allow fans, you know, per capacity, percentage of capacity, will be allowed to have fans in the building. If that's what, you know, local and state officials will allow, then that's what the NHL will follow suit with as well. But they definitely will be playing in their own buildings. It certainly looks like right now that we're going to have some type of realignment for this season. There was some talk that perhaps from a schedule perspective, the NHL will look at two segments of the season to be released schedule-wise, similar to what the NBA is doing. But I was told that's not the case. That's not their focal point right now. They want to focus on a full season. And if it's going to be how they start, then that's, you know, in January, then that's what the schedule will continue to be in April, May, once we get to the postseason. But it certainly, all signs point to it being current buildings. And then from a fan perspective, again, it'll depend on what the local and state officials say from that perspective.
I definitely want to get some Sabres questions in with you because we haven't talked about the Sabres in a while. But the last thing I'll ask you in terms of the national perspective with looking ahead to playoffs, and if there's any discussion about maybe a playoff format change heading into not just this upcoming season with the possibility of shortened schedule, but going forward, and how successful that 2014 playoff system was. I personally wasn't a fan of it from the start, but obviously more playoff games will likely generate more money for the league, but has there been any discussions on the possibility of changing the playoff format this year and beyond? What have you been hearing there?
I've heard it's very unlikely for this season. I don't think they want to go down that road at all. And beyond this season, I told it's a non-starter. The NHL definitely wants to get back to their normal playoff format. They don't want to expand the postseason to become a regular thing. But you know, this season, again, I haven't heard anything. I suspect that if we get to a period that we were when things locked down for last season, it gets to that dire of a situation, then the league would consider it. But I think for this point and for this season and moving on, that they'll get to a normal playoff schedule based to what we're more accustomed to. The reason that they want to get things going and have conceded, the NHL has, to playing less games this season, is remember that, I mean, they were talking about getting close to 80 games up until, I'd say, the last few weeks before things started to shift. And the reason things shifted from less games this season was so that they can get next season back on track. They're hoping, anyway, providing that, obviously, this pandemic, it's under control and we can move forward, you know, come fall of next season, that they can get back to a regular schedule, get the season started in October of 2021 for the 21-22 season, which would certainly be the inaugural season of Seattle, which is another factor as to why they want to get back on track
right
then. So I don't think we're going to see some expansion of playoffs for this season.
David Pagnotta from TheFourthPeriod.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. Now shifting to the Sabres, David. It's been a busy offseason for Kevin Adams in his very first offseason as general manager. He goes out and acquire Eric Staal to be the team's second-line center at least for one season until he becomes an unrestricted free agent after this year. Then he goes out and makes maybe the most surprising signing of the entire free agency period with bringing in Taylor Hall on a one-year contract. Looking at everything that they've done this offseason and looking ahead to the 2020-21 season, whenever that may start, what is your biggest question surrounding this Sabres team?
Stability of the goaltending. They did a good job, and Adams and his staff did a really good job in addressing certain areas of this roster, enhancing the secondary score, overall offensive scoring for this team, and being able to spread it out, as well as addressing some of the PK a little bit by bringing in, you know, Reeder, bringing in Eakin as well, giving themselves what they feel anyway for the time being, three centers that could play the positions that they're needed. You obviously have Eichel as the number one. You've got, like you mentioned, Eric Staal coming into the two slot, likely going to start, the season on the second line as well, and cementing himself in that position. And then you've got Eakin that could provide a little two-way action from a third-line perspective. It spreads things out a little bit. You got Staal likely playing with Jeff Skinner and Taylor Hall, obviously, with Jack Eichel, and you can rotate either Olofsson or Reinhart from first or second line, depending on who meshes best with whom. So they've done a good job in spreading out the offense. They added some depth to the blue line a little bit anyway, with Irwin coming in as a seventh role effectively. But goaltending for me is certainly going to be the question mark for this team. They address some issues up front, but how is the goaltending going to perform throughout the course of the regular season? There was a lot of talk that they were looking to bring in another goaltender, but they didn't necessarily want to go the free agent route. They wanted to, if they were going to change things up, look at somebody, whether it's a Matt Murray or another young goaltender or fairly younger goaltender anyway, that would come in. Just didn't work out for them. So they're obviously moving forward with the two guys they've got in Hutton and Ullmark. It's going to come down to, for me, how the goaltending can perform, whether or not, to show whether or not this team will be a legitimate wildcard contender by May now.
Yeah, right. What did you make of the biggest impact offseason moves they made, which were the Eric Staal acquisition from Minnesota and the Hall signing, and what those guys can bring to this young Sabre squad?
I really like the Staal addition. I mean, outside of the fact that there is some connectivity there with Skinner, just the veteran presence that he brings in and the experience that he brings in, professionalism, certainly goes a long way, especially on a younger team. And being able to showcase that strength and stability that he brings will certainly pay dividends, at least from a locker room perspective. And that, you know, winning mentality tends to spread throughout the course of the locker room. So being able to bring in that type of a player into this room, I think, is certainly important from the team. And then we'll see, obviously, what he can do from an on-ice perspective. They certainly believe he's capable, at least, of holding the fort as a legit 2C. And perhaps, you know, his numbers continue to escalate if, you know, Skinner and whoever's on the right side performs well for them. So I really like that addition. And then, of course, Taylor Hall, no question, the surprise of the offseason. But at the same time, a heck of a move. It shows the team that they mean business. It shows Jack Eichel as well that if things go well, that they're doing what they can to put this team into playoff contention. And at the same time, giving Hall the opportunity to get acclimated to his surroundings there. And if things go well, entice him to sign long-term. So these were calculated moves specifically for this team. I definitely like both of them.
What about the Sabres in the draft this year? They maybe surprise a lot of people in drafting Jack Quinn with the 8th overall pick just because of some of the players that were available there at that time, and players like Marco Rossi, his teammate in Ottawa, and also Cole Perfetti from Saginaw. But what did you think of Buffalo's draft from top to bottom for them?
I like it. Look, they feel that Quinn was the best player available to them in that eighth position, a little bit bigger than the other two that you mentioned, a little more well-rounded, some might argue. So you give him an opportunity to come into this team and maybe click with some of the other young kids that are there. He's going to have his opportunity to prove himself, certainly from a World Junior perspective with Team Canada. So we'll see how that goes as he battles for positioning in a roster spot there. But I like it. They felt that was, again, a little bit bigger of a guy. A guy that's perhaps more well-rounded across the board from a hockey sense and hockey ability perspective. So they like that. And then you continue to address yourself, you know, as the rounds progress from best player available. So with their scouting staff and what they felt was the right moves to make, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going in the positioning of drafting key components or positions on your team. You effectively go for the best player once you get into the later rounds. Like every team does. So they feel that they certainly came out pretty strong in this draft by bringing in some capable, hockey sense, IQ type of players that could be brought into the mix. I like it. I think with the ability that Quinn has with Dylan Cousins already in the mix from a center position, could certainly be some pretty good points from a future perspective for the Buffalo Sabres.
You know, the offseason, especially as of late, has kind of quieted down, not just for Buffalo, but for every team, really, in the NHL until we kind of figure out how everything's going to be looking going forward. But do you think that there's anything more the Sabres can do this offseason, or do you think that what they've got in place right now is pretty much what we're going to see heading into January, February?
I would anticipate the roster the way it is, being effectively the roster that they're going to be rolling out with once the season gets going, unless, of course, you know, maybe one of the younger kids comes in and steals a position, or not steals necessarily, but I guess earns a position, within the big club. But unless something falls into their lap, there's going to be a lot of movement here. Once we get an idea of when the season starts, between that period and once the season gets going, we're going to have a really good indication as to the type of movement that's going to be out there for some of the other teams. There are teams that need to shed salary. There are teams that need to be cap compliant. There are teams that are still looking at free agents, and there's still a lot of potential free agents available out there. So we'll see kind of how that goes. And if you know, they take advantage of a situation based on what may be available from another team's perspective, they could certainly pounce if the opportunity arises. I'm sure that Kevin Adams is going to be keeping his, you know, finger on the pulse of how things go. But I would anticipate league-wide activity. We'll see if any opportunities present themselves Buffalo's way.
And last thing I want to ask you, David, obviously with the moves that the Sabres have made and the makeup of the roster and how things could be going in the team now with Ralph Kruger heading into his second season as head coach in Buffalo, do you think the Sabres are in contention for the playoffs this season? Because I remember when we talked last time in July how you had written an article where the Sabres need to be in contention for next season in order to kind of avoid that possible inevitable situation where Jack Eichel might ask for out or worst case scenario sort of stuff like that. But do you think what the Buffalo Sabres have done this offseason and the looking ahead to next season, have they put themselves in contention for playoffs next year?
I think so. I think without a doubt, like I said, they addressed the offensive game by bringing in certainly Hall, by bringing in Cody Eakin from a two-way perspective for the bottom six. They bring in Thomas Reeder as well. We're going to see some of the younger kids getting an opportunity to play a little bit more and getting some different opportunities this coming season. I like that. I like their blue line overall from a depth perspective. And again, it for me, it comes down to goaltending, as I mentioned. But overall, I think they've addressed some key issues for this team. I like the moves that they make, and I would be surprised if they're not in contention for a wild card position this season.
Well, David, your time is always appreciated here on WGR. We hope to get the chance to talk to you again soon. And next time we talk to you, maybe there'll actually be some hockey going on and hopefully everything gets sorted out. And, you know, again, thanks again for taking the time today and have a good holiday season as well.
Thank you. You too, guys. Looking forward to this season getting going, and hopefully we get some good news in the next week or so.
All right. Thanks, David.
Take care.
All right, David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us on the West Her Hotline. Always a good listen, always a good read at thefourthperiod.com. And if you missed that interview, feel free to go check it out on demand at WGR550.com. Luke will get that up shortly here on demand at our website. Coming up here in the last half hour of the show, we definitely want to continue to talk some Sabres hockey. We want to get your thoughts. What is the biggest question for you surrounding this Sabres team heading into next season? I asked David that. I've asked Brian Duff that when he joined us at 10:30. Now I'm asking you. You can join us. Give us your phone calls. Give us your tweets, your texts. You're more than welcome to get in this final half hour of the show. 803-0550. The toll-free number is also available at 1-888-550-2550. Brayton Wilson filling in for the instigators today. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. You're listening to WGR. We're back here on WGR Sports Radio 550. My thanks again to David Pagnotta and also Brian Duff earlier for joining me here on the program. If you want to listen back to either of those conversations, Brian Duff was more of the Sabre-centric topics, whereas David Pagnotta gave us the latest on what's going on with the NHL's negotiations with the NHLPA to start the 2020-21 season. Both of those on demand at WGR550.com. You're more than welcome to go back, listen to it on the website, or you can use the radio.com rewind function. And again, a reminder that I got the chance to talk with Doc Emmerich yesterday. That's also available on demand at WGR550.com. And a programming reminder, One Bills Live is also off this afternoon. They're off until Monday. They come back on Monday. It'll be the DiBiase brothers, Joe and Louis DiBiase, taking over with your football questions, comments, and thoughts at 803-0550 and the toll-free number 1-888-550-2550. Right now, again, getting back to some Sabres talk, I brought up the question earlier in topic on Twitter. My biggest question with the Sabres heading into the 2020-21 season is blank. open for your response. You could call in now, 803-0550. Give us your thoughts. You can give your thoughts on Twitter. You could text in your thoughts as well. It's the same as the call-in number if you want to text in your thoughts. And I'll give you some of the best ones right now. My biggest question with the Sabres heading into the 2021 season is, Mike says, will our goaltending be our downfall? Unfortunately, for Mike there, I'm not too worried about goaltending at this time. I think Linus Ullmark is bound to take that next step, especially as now he's got that confidence that he's the number one starting goaltender in Buffalo. I think he's ready to take that next step. And I think he showed those next steps before the injury that he had later in the season. I think he was all right to put Buffalo in a position to really succeed and stay in that contention. And then when he got hurt, they had to turn to Carter Hutton. They also had to turn to Jonas Johansson. And that duo, while you know they did the best they could, the team also struggled as well in front of them, and it just didn't help the situation. But Linus Ullmark, I think, is bound to really kind of stand out in from the crowd this year in terms of putting Buffalo in a really good spot. I believe in Linus Ullmark. I believed in him since he came to North America from Sweden and has been part of this organization. Biggest question from Mark here says, why they haven't tried to improve goaltending. I mean, the only improvement in goaltending that I've really wanted to see is maybe a better backup option than Carter Hutton. Again, I think Linus Ullmark is going to prove coming up this year that he is the guy that is the number one goaltender in Buffalo. And I think he has that right to have that opportunity because, again, I thought he played really well when he did take over the reins as the season went on last year. And I really, really think that he's going to get an even bigger opportunity this upcoming season. Let's see here. Looking at the text line, Jacob texts in, I think the goaltending will be better this year because the team in front of them got better defensively. I believe the biggest question is the progress of our younger players like Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins and how well they fit with the rest of the team. Linus Ullmark will shine this year, mark my word. I like your confidence there in Linus Ullmark there, Jacob. I tend to feel just as confident. I don't know if he's going to shine in terms of, you know, becoming a top goaltender in the NHL, but I think he's going to do enough to help Buffalo get in contention and stay in contention with some of his strong play that he's had over the years. In terms of your question with the progress of players like Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins, we're not sure about Tage Thompson because, of course, last year, we only got the chance to see Tage Thompson in one NHL game, and then he got hurt with a season-ending shoulder injury. The year before, we saw some flashes of the type of shot that Tage Thompson has and the offensive skill that he has. He's a little bit of a liability when it comes to playing his own zone or in the neutral zone. However, I really do believe that a guy like Tage Thompson, you know, talking with Brian Duff and talking with a couple of other people with the Sabres, it seems like that he is stronger. He's really put in the work, even during his recovery from shoulder surgery, to get bigger, get stronger, be more of a physical presence and solidify himself as a top forward in the NHL. And, you know, I think he's done a decent job in the time that he had in Rochester. He was showing his offensive prowess, his shot, and there was a reason why he got called up at the time that he did last year. Unfortunately, it just happened to be that he suffered that injury and that ended his season. So this year, obviously, they believe in Tage Thompson. They signed him to that three-year deal with the NHL salary cap, the cap hit of $1.4 million. I think he's going to be in the NHL this year, and I think they're going to do everything they can to give him that opportunity to show that he belongs in the NHL. As for Dylan Cousins, I think he's done everything that he's needed to do at the WHL level, at the junior level, to prove that he's ready to take that next step into the NHL. I mean, he's a former seventh overall pick. He has the very, very solid signs of becoming a solid two-way center in this league. He can put up the offensive production. He can get to the net. He's not afraid to go to the net. And also the fact that he's solid in both ends of the ice. Defensively, he's reliable. I don't think he's going to necessarily get a ton of work in the defensive zone. He's probably going to be, especially this year in his rookie year, why not put him on the wing with Eric Staal, let him learn the NHL game and groom himself under Staal's wing. And then next year, if Staal doesn't come back and now you're asking Dylan Cousins to step into that second line role, I think that he's going to be just fine stepping into that role and be okay. And, you know, if he's not going to be in the NHL this year, he has to go back to juniors. And I don't think that's the right path for development with him. But you never know. If he's not ready for the NHL yet, then you kind of have to do what's best for his development. But I do believe Dylan Cousins is ready. I believe that Tage Thompson's ready to take that next step. My question with the young prospects is, where's Casey Mittelstadt right now? Because we saw some very good signs of Casey Mittelstadt right after he got done with college. At the start of the year after that, he showed some decent signs. And then last year, it really kind of just stalled for him. He had to go back to the AHL. And in the second half of that AHL season for him, he really started coming along until, of course, the COVID pandemic shut things down. So we'll see where it goes with Casey Mittelstadt. But, you know, I think he starts the year in the AHL, and if he works his way back up to the NHL, that's excellent for his development, but certainly a little concerning in terms of where that development path has gone with Casey Mittelstadt. Certainly wasn't a guy that probably was ready to take the reins at the NHL when Jason Botchel signed him to his entry-level contract, but, I mean, he's got to get a contract as it is. He's still a restricted free agent. I believe he still can get offer sheeted if anyone wants to offer sheet him. I don't think that's going to be the case, but he will need a new contract. And once he gets that new contract, he'll likely be in the AHL at least to start the season. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Christian texts in, will we finally see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in the NHL this year? And that's one thing that I did want to bring up here before the end of the show at NHL.com as part of the 31 and 31. Mike Zeisberger wrote about the top prospects for the Buffalo Sabres and gave his top five prospects and their projections as to when we might see them in the NHL. He does bring up Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen as the second best prospect the Sabres have, and he says that the likelihood that we see him in the NHL won't be until next season. I don't know if I tend to agree with that, but I do definitely think that we will see Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen at some point here, not this upcoming season. I think they're going to still give him plenty of time to play in the, whether it be in the East Coast Hockey League, the ECHL, or he gets the chance to play in the NHL as a backup or even a starter. Or maybe he's going to be loaned out to Finland for the rest of the season. He's currently playing in Finland right now and actually has not been doing all that bad over playing professionally in Finland. I just want to bring up his stats here real quick, just because last time I checked, he had played in, I think, like four or five games and had been significantly doing well. So far in nine games, a 2.54 goals against and a 9.10 save percentage, which aren't all the greatest of records. He's 4-2-3 right now with his record, but the stat line is all that it's not all that great. But given the fact that he's playing professionally and he's getting that opportunity over with TPS Turku in the SM Liiga in Finland, it's still good for his development that he's getting that professional action and that he's getting that chance to play over in Finland and getting the look. So I think that he'll be in the NHL at some point. It's probably not going to be this season. Let him continue to develop his game, get that chance to play against professionals like he's doing in Finland. And then by the time that he comes back to North America, if he can become the full-time starter in the AHL by the end of this season, that would be great. But let's just slow the roll here with Luukkonen and let him continue to groom his game. And hopefully by next season, if he's back, if he's up in the NHL and he's able to fill in here and there and continue to groom himself into that starting role, that's, I think, the ideal situation. But I don't think the Sabres are going to try to rush him to the NHL anytime soon. Let's take a phone call here. Let's go to Eric in Louisiana. Eric, good morning. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, look, I was raised between Rochester and Louisiana, so kind of weird. Married a Southern girl, been down here 30-something years.
Uh-huh.
But I got both packages so I can see the Sabres and Bills. And anyway, just real brief, I'm in a coffee shop today. I've got my Sabres hat on, and I see a guy at this other table that's got a Leafs hat on. And I'm just like, oh, cool, here we are a million miles from hockey country, and there's a Sabres and a Leafs fan. So I just go over to him, and I'm like, hey, man, Sabres, Leafs, what's up? And I said, you know, who knows, maybe we'll get a little better and have a good rivalry. And, of course, in typical Leaf fan fashion, he goes, I wouldn't hold my breath. So I'm like, you know what? Why don't you win a series before you get cocky? Says, why don't you make the playoffs before you get cocky? You know, all right, we haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years, and yet we still have a more recent playoff series win than you. So
yeah.
Overrated. They're the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. Pretty boys that can't win. Sabres are going to rock them this year. I can't wait. But so I know that's not very shocking, you know, given Leafs fans general. But, hey, real quick, on I had the same kind of question that Christian had on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Is it just unprecedented for goalies to play as young as that? I noticed even Bennington got Rookie of the Year or whatever it was, and he was, what, 25 just a couple of years ago?
Right.
When he starred for St. Louis. So is it just crazy to think of a 20, 21-year-old goalie coming in and playing that well?
I mean, it's not. Thanks for the call, Eric, and hope everything's going well with you in Louisiana. But, you know, Luukkonen right now is 21. I think the Sabres, I don't think they want to have any part in trying to rush Luukkonen to the NHL. I don't think there's any need to rush him to the NHL at this point. You know, you've got Linus Ullmark, who was playing well before his injury last year. I think he's going to continue to play well. You have Carter Hutton, the veteran backup that's going to be taking over as in the backup role this upcoming year. And then in the AHL, you have a guy like Jonas Johansson, who was drafted a few years before Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who is firmly right now the starting goaltender in Rochester. And, you know, we'll see where he goes. And I think the Sabres do still tend to like where Jonas Johansson's kind of projection is with this team. I don't know if he'll become a starter in the NHL. I don't think so. But, you know, he showed some promising signs last year, especially when he got the chance to come up and play in the NHL while Ullmark was hurt. But Luukkonen certainly, you know, they don't need to rush him. They don't need to pressure him into getting to the NHL at any time real soon. And they want to play him in Finland right now. There's a reason why he's over there. When he gets back, he'll probably be the starting goaltender in the ECHL again. He was an all-star in the ECHL last year. And hopefully by the time the end of the season comes up this year, maybe he's in Rochester playing the backup role or getting more starts there and showing the continued signs of progress where at whatever level he's playing, he's getting better. He's got good movement. He's seeing the puck well, and he's doing what he can to make saves. And I think that they're going to take the time with Luukkonen, and hopefully by the time, you know, he's 23, 24 years old, the Sabres can say, all right, he's ready to be an NHL goaltender, whether it's in a backup role or a starting role. But I think that the Sabres are doing what's right for Luukkonen in any way possible that they can. But thanks for the call, Eric. Thanks for the text there from you, Christian. 803-0550. We'll try to get maybe one more call in before we wrap things up, before we head on out here for the morning. I'll get you the rest of the list that Mike Zeisberger had for the prospects that were listed on NHL.com, and I'll give you some other prospects that maybe we should be paying attention here coming up in a little bit. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators today. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in and your thoughts and your comments, interacting with us. You're listening to WGR. What a good 2 days of filling in for the Instigators. My thanks goes out to Andrew and Craig for allowing me this opportunity to fill in for them. Thanks again to those guys. Thanks again to everybody that joined me over the past 2 days, including Brian Duff and David Pagnotta today. And yesterday, it was Chad DeDominicis and Doc Emmerich joining me. And I appreciate all of those guys for taking the time to join me in the past couple of days. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Hope everybody stays safe. Wear a mask, please. And hope everybody also has a great holiday season, because I know that Thanksgiving is coming up next week, Thursday. And sooner rather than later, it'll be Christmas time as well. But before we go, I wanted to give you the list of prospects that Mike Zeisberger listed on the website. We already mentioned Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen because one texter and one caller brought him up, and, you know, maybe when we might be able to see him playing in the NHL and maybe where he projects to be. The other prospects that Mike Zeisberger lists on NHL.com and the Sabres 31 for 31 includes Dylan Cousins, who's expected to play this season in the NHL, and Mike Zeisberger agrees. Jack Quinn is number 3 on his list because Luukkonen was number 2, and he's projecting him to be playing next season as maybe it all depends on whether he could play in the OHL and be able to have full body contact in the OHL, I should say, because we don't know what's going to happen there with the possibility of the Ontario Hockey League allowing full contact games to take place. Matias Samuelsson is listed as number four. Okay. I'm not really too high on Matias Samuelsson, but I get it. I understand. He's a two-way defenseman. Not the greatest of skaters, but certainly a guy that, you know, has his upsides and projects to be an NHLer. And Jacob Bryson comes in at number five, according to Mike Zeisberger. And Jacob Bryson, really a nice first season in the AHL last season, playing with Rochester. Some of the other prospects that are notable prospects that I think we could see with the Sabres at some point, especially even this season, includes Arttu Ruotsalainen, who's having a fantastic season in Finland. We talked about him with Brian Duff earlier today. Go check that out on demand. Will Borgen's another guy that I think should be on the Sabres this year and should get his opportunity to play plenty. We could see Casey Mittelstadt and also Rasmus Asplund getting their chances this season as well. We'll see kind of how that all plays out, but I think that this year is certainly one of those years where if they get the chance to play and they could show what they've got at the NHL level again this year, hopefully that everything will kind of pan out all for the better for the Sabres. Again, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for interacting with us all throughout the past couple of days. Much appreciated. Again, no One Bills Live coming up here. Next, it'll be Two Bros Live with Joe DiBiase and Louis DiBiase. Both of those guys will be on to talk plenty of football with you. The Instigators will be back on Tuesday after Buffalo Bills Football Monday, and One Bills Live will return, of course, on Monday to get you ready for the week that is coming up between the Bills and the Chargers. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks again to everyone interacting. You're listening to WGR.